presenting Hulk Harrigan, America's ace of the airwaves.
The X-4 calling control tower. The X-4 calling control tower. Standing by.
Control tower back to the X-4. Wind to southeast. Ceiling 1200. All clear.
Okay, this is Hop Harrigan coming in. Yes, it's America's ace of the airwaves. Coming in for another transcribed episode in the adventures of Hop Harrigan. Gang, did you ever know that a dinner in the air can stretch out for more than 400 miles? Imagine starting a meal over New York City and finishing your dessert over Nova Scotia. Well, that's being done every time an Air France Constellation makes the New York to Europe run. Yes, sir, the French airline serves up a regular full-course meal on their North Atlantic flights. It's the longest meal served regularly in the air, longest in the number of courses, and longest in the distance covered from beginning to end. Say, those meals are served in the classiest surroundings this side of Paris. All the Air France cabins are decorated in the best French styles, and they really make you feel right at home. All this has been going on for a long time. The French say their airline is the oldest in the world. It goes back almost 30 years to 1918, when a tiny company started doing business. In 1933, this first company joined with four others to become the Air France we know now. Besides claiming to be the world's oldest airline, the company says it flies the longest routes. In all, Air France stretches over 100,000 miles. It serves five continents, all the way from Chile to Indochina, and from Sweden to Madagascar. Just as we'd expect, Paris is the center of the airline's activity. From there, swift planes streak across the Atlantic to New York and Chicago, or down through Africa and west to South America. In just a few minutes, gang, I'll be back with more exciting information on Air France, one of the greatest pioneering airlines in the world. So don't forget to listen! And now to our story. After breaking out of the dingy room in an old house on the Tampico waterfront where they had been held prisoner, Hawk, Tank, and young Christopher Cross raced downstairs to the ground floor. But there, only a few steps from safety, they were blocked by the sudden arrival of La Pantera and two of her men. Moving quickly, the boys ran down into the basement where they found a long, narrow tunnel that led them to a dock under one of the piers on the waterfront. With the pounding footsteps and shouts of the pursuing enemy in their ears, there was only one thing to do, swim. So they dove in and headed for some pilings not 20 yards away. But suddenly, as La Pantera's men were closing in, Tank stopped swimming, looked around frantically, and then called to Hawk in a hoarse whisper.
Hawk! Where's Chris?
What?
Where's Chris?
Listen to you, will you?
No!
Great Scott!
He jumped off the dock with us and me.
Yeah, just before I did.
What could have happened?
Yeah, I don't know. Now listen, La Pantera's men will be out in the dock any
second. Blind Chris, Hawk, we got to
shoot! There he is, next to the dock.
What's the matter with him? Ain't he swimming?
He's in trouble. Come on back.
Well, I sure now.
Shut up and swim. He's going under.
You're nearer. You pick him up.
Right. We'll get close to the dock where there's a small overhang. Maybe they won't see us.
Check for something. Hurry.
Yeah, yeah. I got him. Yeah. Easy, easy. Take it easy. Hey, Hop.
You
see that
door?
Oh, yeah. Easy, Chris.
Watch it, Hawk.
Be as quiet as you can, Chris. And don't worry, I'm holding on to you.
The right over is quiet.
You see anything? No. This is ridiculous. Even if they had jumped into the water, they would not stay here.
What shall we do then? Go back?
Perhaps you would like to stop and fish.
Well, up in there, you will be angry.
That is nothing new. Come, perhaps the Americanos are still in the house.
I do not think so. I do not think so very much.
I will go. Be quiet.
There's nothing further we can do.
Then you, Mr. Lopeco, not me.
You're afraid of a woman?
Oh, of course, yes.
Okay, Hart, they're going now. Wait a few seconds before you move, just to be sure.
Check.
How's Chris?
I'm all right now.
What happened to you, kid? Get a cramp?
Well...
Chris, tell me the truth. Can you swim?
Well, I...
Can you?
No.
What?
I'm sorry, Hop. If I told you I couldn't, then you wouldn't have jumped off the dock, and you would have been caught.
Holy cow, when you dived there knowing that you... Brother, my hat's off to you, Chris.
You're not mad at me, are you, Hop?
Mad? Far from it. You've got plenty of what it takes, though.
Gee, thanks.
Hey, can't hear them guys no more. Must be up in the house by now. What about moving?
Okay.
Do we have to go back?
No, no, there's a ladder on the other side of those pilings there. I saw it when we swam out. Must lead up to the pier.
Then that's for us.
Jack, you just put your hand on my shoulder, Chris, and float. I'll pull you along.
And don't worry, kid. Hop's a good swimmer.
I'm not afraid.
Okay, let's go.
With slow but powerful strokes, Hop cuts through the dirty harbor water, pulling Chris along as Tank swims a few feet behind. In a matter of moments, they reach a narrow wooden ladder and climb up to the safety of the pier. Proceeding cautiously, they wait until they see La Pantera and her men leave the house. Then they warily make their way out of the waterfront district. 2 hours later, in fresh, clean clothes, they appear at the Tampico Airport and head for the hangar where the plane is stored.
Boy, wait till I get my hands on that grease monkey who tipped off La Pantera that we was here. I'll tear him apart.
I doubt if he's still here, Tank.
Huh?
Yes, Chris.
Since La Pantera knows where our plane is, don't you think she may be waiting for us?
I thought of that, but there's too many people around. She wouldn't dare try anything here.
Besides, I still got that rod I took from Hernando. I cleaned it and I oiled it. There's a full clip in the chamber, so she better not try anything.
Well, don't you start anything.
I won't, not unless she starts in first.
Here's the hangar.
Yeah, and there's our ship.
Looks all right. I'm afraid they've done something to it.
Well, maybe they did. I'm going to check it over from prop to rudder.
Good idea.
I don't see that mechanic anywhere, do you?
No. I'm sure you.
Hey, wait. Somebody just came out of that office.
Is he the one?
No.
Good morning, senores. May I help you?
Yes. Yes, my name is Harrigan. I've come to pick up my ship.
Harrigan? Oh, yes. You are the owner of the beach craft over there.
That's right.
Let me see. There was a report on the worksheet. Oh, yes, the compass.
Did you fix it?
Si. Was taken care of this morning, early.
Where's the mechanic who checked us in last night?
Oh, he left at 6 o'clock, senor. But he told to me what was to be done. The airplane is ready for flight. The compass is in order and the petrol tanks have been filled.
Yeah. Well, you don't mind if I check her over myself, do you?
No, of course not, senor.
I'll settle our bill as soon as we're ready to take off.
Very well, senor. And if there is anything you wish, please to call me.
Thanks. Come on, thanks, Chris.
Hey, he didn't seem like such a bad guy.
Oh, not at all. Very polite and accommodating, as a matter of fact.
I don't trust any of them. They smile at you and then stick a knife in your ribs.
Relax, Tank. Look, I'll start her up and taxi out to the compass rose. You can check her over there.
Okay.
What's the compass rose?
It's a sort of enlarged compass card laid out on the field with all directions marked on it.
You use it to check your own compass?
Yes. You see, the directions marked on the field are all true. So when you put your plane on it and the heading of your needle matches the marking on the ground, you know your compass is okay.
Hey, that's pretty neat. You think I can check my ring compass on it, too?
I don't see why not.
Okay, here's the ship.
Oh, you stay out here. I'll start her up and take her out of the hangar.
All right, Hot. Better give her a good load of prime. She's kind of finicky about starting sometimes, you know.
Yeah, I know.
What's the matter, Hot?
Well, he's had a visitor.
A visitor?
How do you know?
Yeah. What's this?
Huh? What is it?
The message addressed to me.
Oh, what's it say?
Listen, you have succeeded twice, Senor Harrigan, but remember the law of threes. I give you final warning. Return to the United States. Do not continue any further. The third time, I shall not fail.
His face a blank mask. Hoff stares at the paper in his hand for a second, then crumples it into a ball, not even bothering to read the signature. For the identity of the writer is all too plain. La Pantera will try to stop the boys again, but how? Don't miss the gripping climax of today's episode, gang, so stand by. Fellas and girls, anyone who knows anything about the airline business can tell you that a company like Air France just doesn't happen. It's an uphill fight all the way to establish economical and safe routes and to build up business. The French airline did most of this work in the 21 years between the two world wars. In this last war, the airline took a terrific beating with the downfall of France. In the early stages, the Nazi Air Force pounded their airports to rubble. Later on, the same fields were top priority targets for the United States Army Air Forces and the RAF. Then when the Germans retreated, they dynamited whatever was left. Most of the line's aircraft were destroyed in the frequent bombings or badly battered through use by the Germans. Factories which turned out the parts needed for upkeep were badly damaged in the general destruction of French industry. It was a pretty discouraging post-war picture for Air France. 20 years of hard work, all destroyed or badly damaged. But the company started rebuilding, was terrifically established. A new one, Airport Little, the line bought planes they badly needed. And as factories started working again, spare parts and maintenance material became available for the equipment-starved ships. Now, 2 years after reconstruction was started, Air France has grown up again. Daily, its planes streak out to the four corners of the world with passengers and freight. It just goes to show what pioneering spirit and ability can do when luck looks the other way. The airline kept fighting to get back into the air and serve world trade. We can all learn a lot from a story like that, fellas and girls. Never give up, no matter what the odds against you. And always remember, America needs flyers. And now, back to our story. Checking the Beechcraft thoroughly, Tank declares it fit and ready for flight. And a few minutes before 12 noon, the boys roar down the runway in a fast takeoff. Spiraling slowly upward into a slightly overcast sky, Hoff reaches an altitude of 4,000 feet and then sets a course due east, heading out over the blue waters of the Gulf of Mexico.
We're going to Merida anyhow, Hoff. You ain't going to pay no attention to that note.
Did you think I would?
Well, I was wondering.
How do you suppose the note got in the ship, anyhow?
I bet you that grease monkey was so nice that it told us.
No, I don't think so. I questioned him pretty closely when I checked out. He gave me straight answers.
Then the plane seems to be okay. If he was connected with La Pantera, you think he would have done something to it?
Well, me, I still ain't convinced. The more we get to Merida, so help me. If anybody looks at me cross-eyed, I'm going to slug him first and ask questions later.
The way you slug, Tank, you wouldn't get any answers for a long time.
Suits me fine.
Well, let's drop the subject for now. With any kind of luck, we may escape La Pantera on this leg of the flight. If we do, it'll be pretty clear sailing ahead.
But even the top speed, high above the beach craft and several miles behind, a twin-engine Cessna holds a parallel course, taking advantage of each cloud mass to screen itself from its prey. A familiar figure in black bunny jacket, black whipcord breeches, that's control. It is La Pantera, who stares at the biplane far below for a long moment, then turns to her companion, an unspoken question in her eyes. He nods knowingly and packs a deadly submachine gun in his lap.
Si, senor. My gun and I, we are quite ready. As soon as they are farther out over the water, where the wreckage will leave no trace, we shall rid ourselves of Harrigan and Tinker once and for all.
Gang, you won't want to miss the next action-packed episode in this rip-roaring adventure when Hop and La Pantera tangle in a deadly battle in the skies. So tune in and fly with Hop Harrigan, America's ace of the airwaves. Hop, here we see you, same time, same neutral station. Hop Harrigan is a transcribed, copyrighted feature appearing in All American Comics magazine.